present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and Ian Masseter in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And this week we have three of our regulars playing the game, but also we spring a little surprise on him and on you. We have welcomed into the guest chair the man who thought of the game.
Rotten trick.
And so Ian Messiter has courageously volunteered to compete with the three regulars at playing the game, and he tells me he's never played it before. Before we start, let me remind you that they're all going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute, and they're going to try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we're going to start the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, the first subject is the first time I appeared in public. Will you tell us something about that, starting now?
60 seconds, alas, is very little time to discuss such a moment.
And Ian Messiter has challenged you.
He said 60 seconds, alas. That has nothing to do with appearing for the first time in public.
Ian Messiter, you will know, because you usually sit beside me, we do allow even the regulars to get going.
I know.
We don't always have harsh, miserable challenges as that. We obviously are determined to win.
If I went home,
and I thought it was
stuck.
A miserable challenge, and I've never been able to say that to the creator of the game,
I've
probably lost my job now.
So I get a point for a wrong challenge,
you
right?
You get a point for a wrong challenge.
Oh, good.
Oh, he's a rotten chairman.
Good.
Rotten.
And I probably won't be working the show next week. Kenneth, a point for a wrong challenge. You keep the subject. There are 55 seconds left, starting now.
My first appearance in public, actually, was playing a role, Napoleon, in The Man of Destiny. One of the lines was, "Are you not moved by action and victory?" And I got it wrong and said fiction and actory. There was an appalling kerfuffle that ensued because the actor playing opposite me was completely nonplussed, or plussed, as some people will have it, quite wrongly.
Derek Nimmo has challenged you.
Deviation, you got the word wrong.
I beg your pardon.
He's lost his voice today. You must.
Yes, I've lost my voice, and my hearing's gone a bit too, actually.
What's the accusation?
I'm cracking up pretty generally.
What did you say, Derek?
I just said deviation. I said I got the word wrong. I said, what did he say?
Well, I think he wriggled out of a.
No, it wasn't a terrible case. I thought he said nonplussed. And he was trying to say
nonplussed.
He said
nonpulsed to begin with.
Meaning nonplussed.
And he managed to wriggle out of it exceedingly well.
Thank you, Nicholas. A very good chairman. Excellent. Very good. Marvellous way he handles these very tricky rulings.
Yes. Wait till I give one against him. Kenneth, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 30 seconds for you to continue on the first time I appeared in public, starting now.
And, of course, another thing that was very tricky was the makeup. You see Napoleon at this period.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Two Napoleons.
Yes, Napoleon. You said Napoleon earlier on, yes. Right, so Derek, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. Another 24 seconds left. The first time I appeared in public, starting now.
The first time I appeared in public, I was 4.5 years old, and I was given the chance of either playing a fairy or a toadstool. And I wasn't very keen on being one of those ones with the wings, even at that time. So I elected to play this particular kind of fungi.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of play.
Yes, you had the word play before, Derek. So, Peter, we're going to hear from you on the subject of the first time I appeared in public, and there are 12 seconds left, starting now.
Well, the first time I appeared, I was a bonny, bouncing baby. I don't actually know whether I was able to come back off the floor when dropped, but at any rate, I was bonny.
And Derek got in there first with a challenge.
A trifle too bonny.
A trifle too bonny. And Derek, you've got in cleverly with 1.5 seconds on the subject, starting now.
And I was covered in brown stocking apron with a great big cardboard hat on.
Whistle is blown, it tells us that 60 seconds is up. And for those regular listeners, if you thought it was a rather weak blow on that occasion, it's because I have sitting beside me a very beautiful and charming girl called Leonie Lawson, who usually helps the producer backstage, but she's come forward in the absence of Ian Messiter to blow the whistle and keep time. And whoever speaks when the whistle is blown gets an extra point. It was Derek Nimmo, and so at the end of that round, he is in the lead just ahead of Kenneth Williams. We continue with Derek, and the subject for you, Derek, is what I keep under the stairs. They obviously think you've got something there to talk about, so will you tell us something about it in the game, starting now?
When I came under the stairs, principally, there's a great deal of cough medicine, but unfortunately I couldn't get the top off today. But apart from that, I have a musical chamber pot. It's got little angels on it, and when you sit on it, it plays hymn tunes. I don't use it very frequently these days. It's really the most lovely Victorian example of the potter's art, and I'm very thrilled with it, and anybody likes to come round, they can have a go. Apart from I also keep a large furry creature, which is called Mr. Picklewick. I don't know why, but he's been there for years, and he lives in a tin. Doesn't often come out of that piece of metal, because he finds it rather warmer there, particularly during the inclement weather. And he also is very keen on these refreshing things that one has when one has a terribly nasty throat. And that's why this little curious creature...
Peter Jones, this chap.
Yeah, hesitation.
Yes, yes, his don't think his throat was keeping up with the pace of his speech. Peter, you have 14 and a half seconds to take over the subject of what I keep under the stairs, starting...
Well, I think it's inevitably rather boring just to give a list of things that one keeps under the stairs, like old newspapers, cardboard boxes, and used bottles and so on, including a rubber plunger, which occasionally is brought into use to dislodge the sink when it stops up.
No, Ian got in just before. Ian missed your challenge.
He didn't want to dislodge the sink
with it.
He wanted to dislodge the guns that gets down the sink.
A very good challenge, Ian, yes. Dislodge the sink. You must put a lot of pressure onto it, Peter.
Yes.
It's the gunge. And Ian, you've got in cleverly. Ian Messenger thought of the game with half a second to go on what I keep under the stairs, starting now.
Nothing.
Round. Eric Nemo is still in the lead, and Peter Jones, Ian Messenger, and Kenneth Williams are all equal in second place. And Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? The subject is the chairperson. You have 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Well, the chairperson in our case is Nicholas Parsons. He used to be called the chairman, but since this has unfortunate sexual connotations, it's considered more equal if this term is no longer used. And I'm perfectly...
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes.
Yes, it was indeed. Of course, nowadays, in this show, it's called the Chair Parson. And Derek Nimmo, you have a correct challenge, another point, and 44 seconds on the chairperson starting now.
Yes, quite right, Peter. I do totally agree. Chairperson is totally sexless, and nobody could be more appropriate for such a thing as a chairperson as Nicholas Parsons. Because if you've ever seen a great big neuter sitting there, that is why.
Ian Messiter has challenged.
I happen to know that Nicholas Parsons is not sexless. This isn't personal experience.
Oh, yeah.
He has a wife and he has two children. That proves something.
So, what is the challenge, Ian?
Challenge is off the subject, because you're not sexless.
Oh, right, all right. I entirely agree. So you take over the subject of the chairperson. There are 32 seconds left, starting now.
Well, as you know, he's...
And Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Hesitation.
Oh. Well,
yeah, quite right.
Right,
quite right.
I appeal to the audience.
Ian, I
appeal to the ladies. I hope I don't appeal to the gentlemen, but...
Ian, you did a rotten challenge on him earlier on, and he done a rotten one on you to get his own back. But you get a point for that, Ian, and you continue with the subject of the chairperson with 31 seconds left, starting now.
Well, when he's not taking part in this programme...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Another rotten challenge, hesitation.
No, I think that was... I have to allow that one, I'm
You
afraid,
have to allow
yes,
that one.
I'm
yes.
afraid, so.
Yeah, no, you're not very good chairman, but so you allow.
So, Derek, you take back the subject of... there are 28 seconds on the chairperson with you, Derek, starting now.
My favourite, in fact, the great chairperson, as far as I'm concerned, is Chippendale. Of all the manufacturers of chairs in this country, he probably was the most original.
Ian Messiter.
Chippendale made very fine furniture, but Hepplewhite was better.
But Derek was expressing a personal opinion. Derek, you have an incorrect challenge. Another point. You have 17 seconds on the chairperson, starting now.
Well, of course, the chairperson in this particular programme, as I've already said, is a great big nana. So I think I'll stop talking about manufacturers of people like Sheraton and so on and go back to the chairperson here. Now, when I first came across him, I was told to be very, very old. Thank you.
Peter Jones the challenge.
Well, repetition of very.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you've saved us and certainly saved me a great deal of embarrassment. So, Peter, you've gone in cleverly with only 1 second to go on the chairperson starting now.
The man who distributes the deck chairs...
The round, Derek Nimmo has increased his lead, getting a number of points in the round. Peter Jones and Ian Messiter equal in second place, and Kenneth Williams is trailing a little.
Oh.
A little what? I can't tell you. Ian Messiter, will you begin the next round, please? The subject is My Great-Great-Uncle Ebenezer's Strange Habit.
And
there's a repetition in that subject already, isn't there?
Yes.
But you can repeat the subject if you wish. Those are the rules of the game. I know you only thought of it, but I thought I should remind you.
Thank
you have 60 seconds to talk, if you can, starting now.
My great-great-uncle Ebenezer's strange habit is something I'm delighted to talk about because he was very peculiar indeed. He was 7'8" tall, and that was before he'd stood up. This gave him the habit of washing the ceiling. It was very easy, and he would be rented out at enormous expense by lots of people, and they're all playing this thing on me at the moment, I know.
Derek Nimmo's not playing the thing of you anything.
No, you changed it to sort of waffling, so they're all playing this thing on me, I know. Which is
yes, that's a complete deviation.
What's the matter with
they did that
all
on purpose.
All put the buzzers down and refused to buzz.
After all these years, Ian, you must know they have all kinds of ploys to
well,
put
I
you
saw
off this.
Kenneth's sneaky hand going like that,
that's
and
right.
He putting his buzzer down and folding his arms.
Yes, and then Peter Jones followed. But Derek Nimmo didn't, you see. You can never rely on anything in
well,
this
I'm
game.
I'm not only deaf, and I'm also blind, you see. So I couldn't see what was going on.
Fantastic.
Derek, you had a correct challenge. You have 34 seconds on My Great-Great-Uncle Ebenezer's Strange Habit, starting now.
My great-great-uncle Ebenezer joined a very curious religious order when he was 74 years old. They were followers of St. Jude, who looked after lost causes, and they were, of course, Irish, and therefore his habit was green. Not at all like the Dominicans or the Carthusians or the Benedictines or any of the other...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, those three have nothing to do with his great-great-uncle Ebenezer, because he says that he didn't, and they weren't like that at all.
No, and he went off to give a list of others that they weren't like
quite,
that.
Quite, he was just filling in time.
A good challenge, a good challenge.
Most boring way, I thought.
Yeah. Peter, you have 16 and a half seconds on My Great-Great-Uncle Ebenezer's Strange Habit, starting now.
Well, my great-great-Ebenezer's strange habit was so peculiar...
Ian Messiter.
He didn't establish it was his uncle.
It doesn't matter. He still wasn't deviating from the subject on the card. So he continues right. With another point, and there are 13 seconds, Peter, with you, starting now.
Since his descendants are still alive, I think it would ill become me to reveal them to a huge radio audience, because some of them...
Pete Derry, Nimmo's challenge.
Deviation. We never have a very large audience.
Well, as I know, and Leonie here sitting beside me will bear it out as our producer's secretary, there's a volume of letters from all round the world you have to deal with, don't you? So I'm afraid I have confirmation of the fact that that challenge was incorrect, Eric. And Peter continues with another point and 5 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Because it could cause a good deal of embarrassment if it was revealed that on Friday night...
Derek Nimmo's challenge again.
Revealed.
Hmm?
Revealed.
Rubbish, I didn't say revealed.
Rubbish, you didn't say revealed.
Revealed to the large audience.
He didn't say reveal
he
before.
He did. He said reveal to a large audience. He said all that.
Put it
I thought you said you
here.
Were hard of hearing.
If you think he said it before, you all cheer now for Derek Nimmo. And if you don't, you all boo for Peter Jones. And you all do it together now.
Hooray!
You all love Derek Nimmo, don't you? Derek, you've got him with 1 second to go on the subject starting now.
My great-great-uncle Ebenezer's strange habit.
Derek Nimmo, speaking as the whistle went, got another point and has increased his lead, and Kenneth Williams will begin the next round. Kenneth, the subject is stunts. Can you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Well, one thinks immediately of Blondin over Niagara Falls, one of the most incredible stunts I should think ever performed. And I am also mindful of those men who perform so incredibly in the film industry, doing things with...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Too slow. You know, he was like a 78 played on a 33.
It's a very clever ploy in just a minute. He hadn't reached the stage where I consider his slowness was actual
hesitation. No, but he was hesitating between each word.
I know he was. It's rather clever, but...
Well,
he...
hesitation, that
no,
isn't
no,
clever.
No, he it's hadn't got as slow as that. No,
Kenneth,
awesome. You still have the subject. There are 35 seconds on stunts starting now.
And I once saw at Pinewood Studios a man doing a fall down some very steep stairs, which I found quite astonishing. And I said to him afterwards, it was Jim Dale, I don't know how you did it. He said, neither do I, and was taken to Wrexham Hospital. He injured his elbow in the process. And I went to the director and said, the stunts that you're pulling in this film are injurious to many actors. And he said,
Derek Nimmer, Charlie.
Definition of actors. Unless he has a good gag line, then I'd better go back and then say it. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm completely unaware of the fact that I did say the word actors. You must forgive me. I didn't realize. Did I say that?
You did, actually. I'm very sorry, Kenny.
Oh, I see. Well, then he is in the right.
He's absolutely in the right. So I'm terribly sorry about that.
Said it three times, Kenneth, actually, but I didn't want to spoil
he's
it.
He's so gracious in defeat.
Derek, there are 2 seconds left for you on the subject of stunts, starting now.
I once dressed up as an alligator, and I had this head on.
Once again, Derek Nimmo's got in just before the whistle, spoke as the whistle went, increased his lead. But Peter Jones is coming up in second place, Ian Mester's in third place, and Kenny's only just behind in fourth place. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject I thought would be good for you now would be losing my voice. So, will you tell us something about that subject, starting now?
Losing my voice is something which gives tremendous pleasure to my wife, if it's me that's lost, if you see what I mean, because she gets fed up with listening to me year after 12 months for some 26 years of marriage and finds me the most boring person imaginable. So when I develop a sore throat like I have today, she is filled with
Ian Messenger.
A very big gap between she is and...
No, it was no more than Kenneth Williams does. It was one of those dramatic sort of
dramatic
breaths, yeah, which wasn't, I think, a pause. So.
It was still too much. But I admit,
well,
it wasn't
Derek
any more
Nemo's
than Kenneth Williams
too much
does.
Always. Yes. So anyway, Derek, you have the subject still. I disagree. You have 33 seconds starting... Sorry. 38 seconds, starting now.
If I'm losing my voice and I'm visiting a friend's house, I go to their bathroom cabinet, open it, and it's such a wonderful excuse to see what kind of pills they're using. And I can take out the little bottles and have a little gargle, and that I find to be most helpful.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of little.
Yes, I'm afraid there was.
It's a very little challenge.
I know, but it's a correct challenge, and there are 25 seconds for Peter Jones to talk on losing my voice, starting now.
Well, I haven't got a great voice to begin with, so it doesn't really bother me terribly because, well, I don't sing, I don't earn my living by vocalising that way, and I've got nothing much to say about losing one's voice,
never
really.
It's all sort of mumbly, I can't...
But he just said he hasn't got much to say about it, so he sort of almost came to a halt, didn't he?
Yes.
So, Derek, you're helping him out. You have 13 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Losing my voice, I also have a spray which I hold the distance of about a foot and then squirt right down my throat, and suddenly the voice returns, and I don't have to go and visit Mr. Punt, who is a silly old, because he...
So, Derek Nimmo has increased his lead, speaking again as the whistle went, as well as getting points in the round, and Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, Peter, is bathing baby... Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, I remember doing this in an amateur performance when I was quite a small child, and I was given a doll and told to...
Kenneth Williams came in.
Well, I thought it all sort of jutted to a halt.
Yes, it was a definite hesitation. Kenneth, you have the subject of bathing baby. There are 52 seconds, starting now.
I am admirably suited for this task because a doctor once told me that I showed admirable courage when I dealt with this sort of unusual situation. He said, you see, you remember always to support the base of the spine, and nothing could be more right for this kind of work. Whenever you are bathing a young creature, you must always remember that the support is necessary.
Peter Jones has done.
Well, this is actually terribly bad advice. It's the head you have to support.
I know, it's
more
the
than the base of the spine.
It's
and I do
head.
Feel it dangerous to tell people.
Yes, you're quite right. I think
it's me bathing the baby, not what's orthodox. That's the subject. It's me bathing the baby.
Well, I hope they don't ask
we're
you
not
very often.
When I went, not got an audience of Dr. Spock sitting out here.
Yeah,
but if they don't support the head, it flops back and
why
it can
don't
snap
you
off.
Shut your round, rotten chair. Awful chair.
I mean, there are...
You
people...
shut your route, too. You're just jealous. Just jealous of me. He's just jealous of me because of my hair. This lovely hair. People have said it's like spun gold. So they want to run through it barefoot. You know. And he hates me for that. He loathes me for that.
Now, trouble is, so much of it has spun away, hasn't
you're
it?
You're right.
No, the
But Peter
the
has...
effects could be serious. I mean, 60 or so years ago, perhaps Kenneth Salmon bathed you in that way. And look at the result.
So Peter has made his point, and I agree, and there was also the repetition of support, which is what you were leading
to. No, he wasn't. He never mentioned repetition at all.
He mentioned
so why
support.
Are you dragging it in?
I thought that was his challenge.
No. Why don't you listen, Barson? You're so totally incompetent.
I didn't want to...
I thought he was doing an act of service to the nation.
I was, and I didn't want to embarrass Kenneth by bringing up his support, because you know, that has nothing to do with it.
That's disgraceful. Nobody knows I wear it. That's disgraceful. That's really wicked. And you earlier on were talking about you don't broadcast awful, awful things about
well,
me.
Well, I didn't want to.
You don't want to do a thing like that.
I think we should leave the subject with Kenneth, don't you? Otherwise, with his spun gold hair and his spun gold support, he's going Right, Kenneth, carry on with bathing the baby, and there are 22 seconds starting now.
It's important that you test the water, and the way that you should do it is to put your elbow in. Now, if...
Peter Jones a chum.
No, terribly bad advice again, I'm sorry. Not at all accurate. The elbow is not a good thermostatic guide. And I don't think anybody would be well advised to use it.
And you're having him for deviation on that?
Yes.
On the support of the back instead of the head, I would disagree. I mean, I would agree entirely, but the elbow, I think you're stretching your luck a bit there, Peter.
Well, no, it's not accurate at all.
It may not be accurate.
Put your elbow in there.
But all you're going to do is harm the person whose elbow goes in. The other way, you might harm the baby, and that is what is important.
But you might put your elbow in, and it doesn't react at all. And then you put the baby in, and the baby is practically boiled.
We do hope that all our listeners are enjoying this new program called First Steps with Baby. Next week, we're going to talk about the problems of teenagers. And after that, are there any adults left listening? We will continue on another subject. Right now, I think we're going to carry on playing just a minute. And we're going to carry on with our spun gold expert over there. I'm sorry. Kenneth, you are going to continue with bathing baby. 14 seconds, starting now.
There is a special soap which you must use, which is called No Tears, and that means that should any of the suds get into the pupils of the small baby's eye, it will not cause pain. Now, that is neglected by many.
Williams gained a number of points in that round, and he has leapt forward into third place. He's just ahead of Ian Messiter, behind Peter Jones, and they're all trailing Derek Nimmer, who is still our leader. And Ian, would you take the next subject? The subject is great music. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Well, I'm very glad you've asked me to talk about great music, because there's an awful lot of it about. You've just got to turn on the radio and you get great music the whole time. As this subject is one of which I know absolutely nothing, I suppose I'm stuck with it, and I will talk about great music. I am allowed to repeat great music, fortunately, because I know I invented the game. If you listen to, for instance, God Save the Queen...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Yes, it was the most appalling hesitation of Rimston's God Save the Queen.
I didn't hear Rimstons. You turned away at that moment. Did you say
did
Rimstons?
Did I say Rimstons?
I didn't hear you say Rimstons. I think you must have turned
Rimsky-Korsakov. I never said that.
No, you started to say Rimsky-Korsakov, and then when you God Save the Queen.
It was Tchaikovsky, I was saying.
No, Rimsky-Korsakov didn't compose God Save the Queen.
No, he's not listening.
No, not listening properly. He wants to wash his ears.
Well, we couldn't hear you anyway, Ian, so I do think you should continue.
Well, it was...
And there are 36 seconds on great music starting now.
Tchaikovsky, Swan Lake, Rimsky-Korsakov. And I didn't say it before, so it's not repetition. God Save the Queen.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
An excess of loyalty.
Derek, you have the subject of great music. There are 28 seconds starting now.
Of course, by great music, you don't always mean the classics. Now, I have a secretary who is a honky, which means white, drummer in an all-female reggae band. And she makes the most wonderful, great music. This is totally true. Her name's Flossie. And she goes and performs around clubs which West Indians frequent and is the most dynamic lady on these kind of tom-tom instruments which are spelled D-R-U-M-S. Now, other kind of great music...
Nobody got him for repetition of tom-toms.
Oh.
But he kept going to the whistle wind, gained another point, and he not only brought the round to a close, but I'm afraid we have come to the end of the show. So let me give you the final score. In Messiter, not having played the game before, braving everything, coming and competing with our three regulars, did extremely well. Many congratulations,
Ian. I was last.
You were last.
I thought so, yeah.
But you were one of the best lasts we've ever had, I think. Kenneth Williams was in third place, just behind Peter Jones, but way out in the lead was this week's winner, Derek Nimmo. We have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to join us same time next week when once again we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.